That's part of my message, so I better practice what I preach, okay? Share the love. Share the love. Is it okay today if you are blessed? Is it okay today if you are challenged? Good, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You know, Mike, it's so hard not doing that safety net with you by my side. No, I've managed. Just pray for me. One of the things, and I touched on it in my monologue, if you like, is there is a foundation that God can build upon. And the title for today, if you want a title, is Equipping God's People. And we need to be equipped for works of service. We do not work ourselves into the kingdom. We accept it by grace, faith alone, through Christ alone. But when we become Christians, spirit-filled, born of his spirit, there's a desire, or there should be a desire in each one of us, to say, Lord, here I am, use me. And one of the things I was alluding to on this pendulum is maybe you've been like me, where there's been experiences in your life and you're going, was that God? Wasn't it God? My wife puts it this way. She said it's like that prophet Goldilocks who puts it like this. You know, there's three bears, and there's mummy bear, too soft. There's baby bear, just right. Daddy bear, too hard. We need to get that just right, don't we? We need to not be infants, so not use the analogy of the baby bear to stay in that position, but have a childlike faith where we say, here I am, Lord, use me. And yes, I've seen this, and yes, I've seen that, but I still believe what you say, not what I think. It's not about what we think, it's about what he has said in his word. And there are scriptures that I would rather not be there, would you? You look at them and go, oh God, did you have to put that there? Especially when it's my turn to preach, to minister. Do I have to minister on that? Yes, because it's truth, the whole truth. We can easily take portions of scripture and make it fit our narrative, but what does God say? Let's read a few scriptures together. They're up on the board, so it'll be okay. In Ephesians 4:11, so Christ himself gave. Did you know that I was a gift to you? Sorry. God gave gifts. He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Why? I'm glad you asked. To equip his people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up. That's what we need to do. Build one another up, not tear one another down. We don't do that here. But that's what we don't want to do. We want to build each other up. Until we reach unity. We come together. Unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God. And we become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. These are great big words. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then, if we take heed of that, then we will no longer be infants on milk, but we'll be on meat, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So when we're on the sea of life and the wind comes, he is our anchor. When we're on the seashore and the waves come, we're built on the rock. That's what this is saying. We need to be that mature body in him who is the head. That is Christ. From him the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Every supporting ligament. And so often in church life over the years, we can be led to believe that we are insignificant and not important, but we are to support one another. As we support one another, we become the full body of him who is the head. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Builds itself up. We have a responsibility to allow God to build us up as we do our part. Each one of us, we do our part. Let's pray that God will open the floodgates. Let's pray that this place will be full of people who understand they are sinners and they need a Saviour. Who understand they are lost and Jesus wants to find them. understand that they're blind, and he wants to put balm on their eyes, unstop their ears so they can hear and see the truth. Yes? So let's believe, when we put finances in an envelope, it's not just about you giving us money, it's about sowing into what God has for us. One of maybe four events each year that we want to bless the community free of charge. They don't need to pay for it. Salvation is free, but it costs God everything. But we as people, we can pray and we can serve and we can sow and we can believe. So onto Genesis 22 verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Many of you, if you've been in church for any length of time, you'll understand this portion of scripture. You know, it's easy for us to say, "Here I am, Lord. Use me. I'll do anything, go anywhere." And God says, sacrifice your son. I'll do everything, go anywhere, but I'm not doing that. It's true, isn't it? God won't ask us to sacrifice, literally sacrifice our children. But he will ask us to be a sacrifice. "Here I am, Lord," he replied. And that's the cry that should be on our hearts. When we hear of something, see of something, let's not see ourselves as a spare part, but as a part of the body. And we can say, "Here I am. Yeah, well, I'm not feeling so good in my body physically. I can't do that, but here I am. I can pray. I can believe. I can encourage. I can build up." Yes? See, when David comes into church, he can't sneak up on me, because I hear him coming. But he has a heart that wants to encourage and build up. As I say to David, your gift is not speaking, it is writing. So read what he has to write. It is encouraging. It's challenging, but it is encouraging. We're part of a body. Now, the scripture that I want to just go through, and I'm now looking at my clock, so we have time. It's 2 Timothy 2, and I want to read it and just pull out one or two things in line with equipping the body, in line with saying, "Who are we? Here I am, Lord, use me. Speak to me afresh. Father God, I'm no longer under the law, I'm under the grace." It says this, "You then, my son," and we know this is Paul, and if you don't read what's going on, look at Paul's life, understand he has a heart for people. Now, when he talks about "my son," we're talking about us now, we're children. So he's talking to you, "My son, my daughter." He's talking to you. There's something we can glean from this passage of the scripture. We can glean the heart of a natural father, in the sense of us as parents over our children, but a heavenly father. And just imagine God is speaking to you. It says this, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong. Yeah, but you don't understand. In the grace. What's the Bible say? My grace is sufficient for you. Grace, undeserved favor. Yeah, but God, you don't deserve it, but I want to give it to you. Have you ever had a situation where there's been something that's happened in your life? Someone said something, done something. You've seen something, and they don't deserve it, but you give it to them anyway. That's grace. They deserve your wrath, but you give them love. That's grace. So be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So the grace, not with the grace that's in the church, not the grace that's in your pastor, not the grace that's in your husband, wife, in your friendship group, not the grace that's in the prayer meeting, but the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Look at what Jesus did on the cross for you. That's the grace that we need to be strong in. And then it goes on in verse 2. "And the things you have heard me say." You see, when it talks about the foundation of the apostles and the teachers, there's a strength there. We need to look forward, but we also need to look back. "Lord, what have you already said to me? In the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." What qualifies you to teach others? Reliability is one of them. We don't get taught that, do we? Well, you need to be an undergraduate. You need to have gone to a theological college and spent at least 3 years under somebody else. You need to have this. You need to have that. But what Paul says here to Timothy is one of the qualifications is reliability. You can be reliable, can't you? Well, you're qualified then. You're qualified to teach others. You can only give others what you've already received. So part of the equipping of the church is say, Lord, show me so I can show others. Lord, lead me so I can lead others. Lord, correct me so I can correct others. Lord, I receive your love so I can give your love away. And I want to do a message at some point on love, because it's bigger than what we think at times. We just see the human side of love. But love hung on a cross. Love bled for you and me. It says, join with me in the joy of life. No. Translated, joy with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And when we look at the whole area of a soldier, they sacrifice. They sacrifice their will and they give it to someone else. Yes, sir. Dig a hole. How big, sir? I'll tell you when to stop. Yes, sir. Go. Yes, sir. Stop. Yes, sir. Fight. Yes, sir. They give up so much. They give up themselves to serve others. And soldiers, they go into battle, not to kill people, but to defend people. And he's using this as a qualification here, like a good soldier. And it talks about suffering. And as Susan said earlier, you know, in church life, when you become a Christian, you will suffer. But be of good cheer. I'll be there with you, God says. And that's the fullness of the gospel. Does God want to bless you? Yes. Does he want to prosper you? Yes. Does he want to heal you? Yes. Does he want to set you free? Yes. But we will suffer. But we don't sit there, do we? We go on. We go forward. So there is a cost. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Lord, not my will, but your will. I'd do it differently, wouldn't you? You know, you talk about the whole issue in society today. You look at anything and you go, I'd do it differently. You know, I wouldn't be quite so hard on them, Lord. I think I'd be a bit more gracious. Well, that's not down to us, is it? That's down to him. We need to be faithful. It says this, similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete, he goes through all these things that we can see. And when we see an athlete, we see a man or a woman that is strong. They're defined. They want to win. We see something that we want to. If only I had a body like his. If only I could run as fast as she can. If only. And he uses this as an illustration. Does not receive. It says this. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. And this little word here was pointed out to me this week, according to the rules. See, God is a God of order. Now, for me, in the ministry that God's called me to, I know that God is a God of order. But if God wants to bring disorder, it's his church. Yes? But I won't bring disorder. There's the difference. There's the pendulum. I want us to be free in what God has for us. But I want us to also be those that are sober. Sober. Not drunk on wine, but drunk on the Spirit. That seems an oxymoron, something I'm contradicting myself, but I'm talking about being sober unless God is the one that intoxicates us, if that's the right word. So there's rules, and when we look through scripture, it says, do not do that. If you do, this will happen. It says, if you forgive, then you'll be forgiven. If you give, it will be given to you. There are rules. If we put our hand in the fire, we'll get burned. So we need to be a people, if we're going to be equipped, is we say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? What is the baseline? The hardworking farmer, yet he uses another picture, should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Now just imagine, I'll I need to pick on someone here, so I'll pick on Simon. And Simon says, right, okay, Lord, I've got a gift. I've got green fingers and green thumbs. Everything I touch, it turns to fruit. And he says, but I won't eat any of it. I'll give it all away. What will happen to Simon? He'll starve. He will, won't he? He'll starve. So we need to recognize that God has gifted us and given us the provision, but we do need to feed ourselves. If we haven't got it, we can't give it. Now, we can talk about it as food, as natural food, spiritual food. We can talk about it as finances. Put whatever you want on it. But if you don't feed yourself, if you don't pay your own bills, you can't pay others. If you don't feed yourself spiritually, you can't feed others. So this analogy, I want to use it this way, about the farmer should be the first to receive the share of the crops. So if we're going to equip the church, I want us to have an understanding that it's okay to have, as long as your heart is to give. You know, there's scripture after scripture that says, you know, don't just build up in barns. You know, store treasure up in heaven. So there's seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So you get the seed, you grind it into flour, you eat some of it, you keep some of it, you sow some of it, and you can grow some more. You can give seed to someone else to plant in their field, but there's also bread for you to eat. So for us, if we're going to be equipped, have an understanding that it's okay to have as long as we have a heart to share, a heart to give. The hard-working farmer should be the first. And it says this, reflect on what I am saying. It's not me saying this, it's Paul. God is speaking through him. So God is saying this. Reflect on what I am saying. For the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Lord, what's happening? He'll give you insight into all of this. So let's equip one another. We're going to equip the church for works of service. In Mark 10:27, it says, as Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Put that into context, and we look at what he's saying about the kingdom of God. We look what he says about the carnal mind. We look what he says about the rich man. And the disciples say, who then can be saved if it's hard for someone, a rich man, to go through the eye of the needle? Who then can be saved? And Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. Well, we can use that for everything. I don't think I can do this. I'm not smart enough. With God, all things are possible. I don't know if I can believe for my healing. With God, all things are possible. See, the difference is you're shifting it off of you and you're putting it onto him. You know, the Bible says, unless God builds a church, we labor in vain. Okay, Lord, it's your church. Build it. But he's given us a responsibility, hasn't he? To take care of what he's given us. We take care of what he's given us, he'll give us more. And I believe as we pray into outreach, we pray into those that don't know God. Because that's what this is about when we talk about evangelism. It's not talking about just filling this room up with godless people. It's talking about saying, I want you to see what I see. I want you to have what I have. I want you to receive what I've received. There are people who are walking around. They are dead men walking. But they think they're alive. See, for us, we know we're dead. But we're alive in him. You must be born again. So all things are possible with God. So put yourself in that picture. What is it you're believing for? All things are possible. Do you need peace in the home? All things are possible. Do you need prosperity in your bank account? All things are possible. Do you need to say, Lord, I have a talent. I don't know how to use it. All things are possible. Is there things in your body that the doctors have said, this will never change? But there's something in your heart that says, but God said, all things are possible. All things are possible. So to equip the church, we have an understanding that in Christ, all things are possible. In Matthew 13:57, it says this, and they took offense at him. And so often you'll be familiar with a situation, familiar with a family member. They'll never change. It's just them. All things are possible. You know, if you look at the parable of the sower and the whole thing of the word being sown as the seed, and then you've got this picture of hard ground. Do you know what, there's times, if you look at it in a spiritual sense, and bear with me, that when you pray for that hard ground, you could be the one that's removing the rock and the rubble from that family member's life. Lord, bless them. Stones are being removed. Lord, equip them. Let them see with your eyes. Let them experience your heart. Rocks are being removed. Do you get that picture? You know, so people can easily take offense at you. Ah, it's not them again. They've invited us around so they can preach to us. No, we've invited you around because we want to love you. We want you to have what we have. We don't want you to miss out. But God loves you enough to give you the choice to choose. That's the truth of the gospel. But unless you know it, you can't reject it. And yet the Bible says, when you look at creation, you cannot but see God. But we have a responsibility. Let's not take offense one with another. And let's realize people will take offense with us. Because the gospel is offensive. Did you know that? The gospel is offensive to those that are perishing. But to those that have received it, it is a hope of salvation. So I want to encourage you with these scriptures as we use that theme, that title. Let's build the church. Let's build one another up. In Galatians 5, verse 11. Brothers and sisters, if I'm still preaching circumcision, Paul, this is Paul, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. See, that's not my word when I said that the Bible, the scripture is offensive. Paul is saying it here. God is inspiring this man to write. You see, the gospel is offensive to those that are perishing. Have you ever seen, you may have experienced it, the people who say they are tolerant are the most intolerant people you meet. We need to be tolerant with everyone's views. Well, I'm a born-again Christian. I don't want to know about that. We're tolerant except with you. Have you noticed that? Why? Because it's offensive. Don't get offended by it. Realise that that offence was nailed to the cross. So when someone offends you, give it to God. Cast your burdens. So they give it to you, give it to him. What will happen? It won't sit on you. So when we equip the church, we understand that we will be persecuted for the word that we share. It is an offence. If we just preached law, pendulum, law, don't do this, don't do that. There are people who can understand that. Yeah, I understand that. But once we preach grace, listen, Jesus came, he hung on a cross. He died for your sin. I'm not a sinner. There's offense. See, the law just points to the things we need to try to do better at. Grace points to the fact that we failed and we can never succeed apart from his grace. So it becomes offensive. So to equip us as a church, as we speak to people, we need to have it in order to give it. We need to know it in order to articulate it. We need to have experienced it in the sense that we know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and all things are possible. We need to walk in the office that God has called us. We need to know that we are a soldier that will say, yes, Lord. That we are a farmer that will say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. You've given me more than enough. I want to share it with others. So as we allow God to equip us as a people, as a church, as a ministry, let's get excited about what he's going to do. My final scripture that I want to leave you with is 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. But he said to me, and I said, they're not my words, they're his words. My grace is sufficient for you. My favour. Just picture that. Ponder on it for a moment. Favour is undeserved. Yeah, well, I give a tithe of this, a tenth of this, mint and dill into... It's not about that. It's about receiving his grace. And that I want to give a tenth of my dill and my time, my finances, whatever it may be. I want to give. But to start with, it's receiving his grace, undeserved. I mean, you love me. The Bible says it like this. It says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. When I walk in life and I speak to people and I come across those that look at the church and they paint the whole church with one brush. You're all hypocrites. You're all this, you're all that. You all think you're better than us, but the truth is we know we're not. Because we know we're a sinner, don't we? But we know we have a Saviour. We know that we can't, but in Him we can. All things are possible. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. The Bible talks about it this way. It says that there's a dynamis of the Holy Spirit, where we get the word dynamite. So just picture that. Dynamis of the Holy Spirit. So imagine that. The dynamis of my power is made perfect in weakness. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. You imagine you're in a position where you go, I can't, but I know in you I can. I can't, but I know in you I can. I've been asked to speak, but I'm struggling, Lord. Well, as you accept His grace, His undeserved favour, as you realised the power He's talking about is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the same power, just picture this, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Have you seen any other dead men raised? It's quite powerful, isn't it? I haven't seen any dead man raised, but I've read about one. But it's powerful, isn't it? It's something that we don't witness. The same power, the same dunamis, the same authority that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's how much power there is at your disposal. You know, when we, different people will interpret it different ways, but after looking through scripture, this is the interpretation I have. The word meekness, or is not weakness. Meekness, as I looked at it, look at it for yourself. The picture I got was this. It's power under control. It's like a stallion. And there's a mighty, mighty horse. And has a small bit in its mouth. And you keep it under control. But let loose, it can do all kinds of damage. See, God doesn't want us to damage, does He? But He wants us to know that there's a weakness within us that is under control of the Holy Spirit will do great things. So put yourself in this portion of scripture. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. It's Christ in me. I've had a conversation with several people over the last 2 weeks, and I hope you get this illustration. There's something that's happened and they've said, thank you, but it's nothing to do with me. It's all God. But the truth is, it is something to do with you. So let's say we go, worship team, thank you for leading us in worship. And Emma goes, yeah, that's nothing to do with me. And I then have to have the conversation. Emma, if God has given you, and you've chosen to use it for His glory, so it's Christ in you, yes? So when we look at the grace God's given us to give financially, and God, that's nothing to do with me, it's all God. No, you've chosen to allow Him to work in you and through you. God's given it and you've given it away. So it is something to do with you. The power is nothing to do with you. It's His grace. Yes? So this picture, my power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more in my weaknesses. Because Lord, I then acknowledge your strength. Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. In insults and hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, when we get to the end of ourselves, then God says, all right, now it's over to me. When we say, I can do this, and now I'm not talking about the scripture that says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm talking about, I'm leaving God outside. I can hear Him knocking, but I can do this. I'm talking about when we've accepted that we are sinners, we've been saved by grace. Not only that, we've been covered by His blood. Not only that, we've been indwelt by the power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. So when we speak words of truth, there is power in it. Yes, it will cause offense. Yes, it will cause people to get angry. Yes, we may suffer. But when God's word goes out, what does He say? It won't come back empty. So whenever you pray, it won't come back empty. Whenever you speak truth in love, and what I mean by that is this. You don't go up to Bernie and say, you stinking rotten sinner, you're going to hell, which is true. But you don't tell him that, do you? You say, do you know what? God so loved you, Bernie, that he gave himself for you. He hung on a cross so that you could receive his grace. What's grace? Undeserved favor. So I don't need to do anything apart from accept. You see, it's a way of communicating in love, isn't there? Now, there are times when we come up against a different sermon. We come up against the devil and we go this far and no further, right? We can speak with authority without being vengeful. When, I'll leave you with this illustration on that. You know, I listened to a book on Smith Wigglesworth, and he put it like this. He's talking about authority. And he said, this lady has a small dog, little Jack Russell, and it would follow it to the bus stop. And she would say, Jack, now go home. And the dog would sit there. I could do a great dog impression. Sit there. And he'd go, Jack, go home. And the dog would sit there. Jack, home! And the dog would, and go. Now, did she love the dog any less? No, but she made a command. So when the enemy comes into your territory, when he stands at your doorstep, you can say, leave, without sinning. You can say, no, without sinning. You can say, no, I will not do that, I will not accept that, in a tone that has authority without sinning. But in the same breath, God calls us to be discerning as we equip the church, that he'll give us a love for people, that we will see with his eyes, and we'll have compassion that these people are lost, and we have a message of reconciliation. Amen. Let's pray. Invite our worship team. We will close it there.